Welcome to David's Life and Observation with your host, David Welch. Hopefully today I can get through a full podcast without being called or interrupted or attacked by toddlers. Either way, here we go. Today's show is a conglomerate of things that have gone on through the week, things that were normal for about 2 years and now they're just kind of in the past. So, what am I talking about? Well, first thing to talk about is coronavirus. Yep, just bye. like we had this serious reporting, all of this craziness going on with coronavirus, and then next thing you know, Russia and Ukraine are kind of taking over the narrative. There are some holdouts. New York. California. Random cities where small governments like to control their people. Mainly Democrat. Mostly Democrat run, actually. It is crazy, the circumstances surrounding a Democrat-run or liberal-run city versus a conservative city. Now, the liberal cities may be fun to go to, but they are the freaking most draconian bubble space for weak, weak people. But conservatives have their cities too. They're very theocratic dictators.
Shit.
Yeah, theocratic dictators. Yeah, and they do the same thing. They just go to that. They go to the extreme where they're both doing the same thing in the extreme. Canceling the voice. Trying to be exhibit one way of being while trying to be all encompassing. Just like, for example, when you see people in America who are like, proud to be American, fuck yeah, America, you know, but then, you can't have a camera in my town, you need my permission to take my picture. Like, wait, 1 second there, Billy Bob. So you for the Constitution? Yes, mainly the Second Amendment. Oh, because you don't know the other ones. Oh, that's probably the fucking case. Where, you know, as long as you know you can have freedom of religion and hold your gun, that's what you care about. Now, as far as other freedoms, you know, of speech, well, he done said something I don't like, so therefore we can stifle his speech and just throw him in jail because he got loud. Yeah. So, either way, whether it's the right or the left, they've gone to the extreme where it's just fascism. That's it. Pretty simple. Whether you go too far right, too far left, either way you run into fascism like a cold hard kick in the nuts. Yeah, it's fucking hilarious to watch. Because you just see people's whole way of being shift from, you know, like holier than thou to reeling from shock at their own philosophy being challenged, their own, you know, everything being challenged about who they are and what they're about. And people hate that shit. But anyways, coronavirus disappearance. Interesting. Now, I guess it hasn't left everybody's minds, like, in the grand scheme of things, but I think we're marking the end of the pandemic where, you know, things are going to go from kind of where we started the pandemic, where it's pretty closed off and a lot of people stayed inside, to, I wouldn't say business as usual, because now this is another mechanism to make sure that people have another layer of identification and proof screening before travel. And that's what this really came to be about. They've developed another way to deprive your rights when traveling, because You know, HIPAA's a bitch, you know? Like, when you're safeguarding medical information and you truly don't want an entity to have it that doesn't, you know, that would need a court order to attain, and they don't have the time or the desire, all they have to say now is, oh, well, we need you to have a COVID test, which, you know, on the COVID test, it gives you, you know, and they're gonna have you sign access to the information. Or at least just demonstrate it on some sort of card so they can come keep sort of medical documentation on you. Which I think should be regulated in and of itself, because what are they now going to do with this information? I don't think anybody's discussed that. I mean, are they obligated at that point to be the custodian of that information and still hold it to HIPAA standards? Or can they market that information because it was given freely into them? You know what I mean? So, you know, how would that go? Anyways, when it comes to the Russia-Ukraine thing, it's just one big clusterfuck as well, because, let's face it, I mean, it's, we're going into a situation where Russia is going to get themselves embedded in a long-standing war that's going to deplete their resources enough to not withstand a, you know, an American attack should we choose to do that. Now, I don't see us doing that to Russia. I really don't. Nobody wants, like, nobody has a good reason to go into Russia and want to fight them on their territory at all. There's no good reasoning behind it. Other than them wanting to, you know, say that they have power to do whatever they want with their nukes. Like, no, we have an agreement to not use them on each other. That's good enough. But why would you pick a fight with a fucking country smaller than you? It doesn't make any sense. You know, and it does make sense in the grand scheme of resources. But is Russia really so tapped that they can't work within their own country? And that's the sad thing about Russians, is they're a beautiful people, cultured in so many fucking ways, part of the old school, you know, part of the, you know, the older generations of us, you know, the founding people, you know, some of them probably came from Russia, you know, like Russia's got a deep history. The Mongols, the Tsars, all that. And beautiful artistry and, you know, just everything like that. But for some reason, you want to put it all on the line for what? Like, you didn't get enough of the fucking Germans? Like, you want to fight everybody in the world? Like, I don't understand it. But we're getting to that point where we're going to step in. It's not going to be good for anybody because, you know, we're not ready for Red Dawn here. In fact, there are countries that fear attacking us, and for good reason. You know, we're not going to go easy on anybody. They would have to launch nukes to debilitate us. And even then, we've got quicker reaction. You've got deployed assets. Our Navy alone would revenge the States and just be a constant attack and bombardment on China, and the Chinese people are gonna be like, the fuck did we do? You know, and it's not fair to the huge amount of Chinese that would have no idea that it's coming, or the huge amount of, I mean, just imagine we launched two nukes in that situation where one goes to Moscow, the other one goes to Beijing, even though we have a huge supporter base in Beijing. It's just odd, you know, where we can't have this happy medium in this country, and it doesn't make sense. Well, why we can't have it? We should be able to have comfortability in knowing that we are going to support each other. Like, we should be in a hegemony already versus the multi-state system. But that's what we have, you know. It would take an external threat to make that coalesce, maybe in a stronger NATO, you know. But just like a one world government where, you know, one currency, you know, like all that works, I guess, in theory, but I guess competition creates, you know, good things. But I don't know. We'll see. We'll see if we can have a competitive future. And it's not just competitive. Like, we need to work on science now that allows our resources to go as far as they can for as long as they can. And speaking of listening to good podcasts, I can't remember where I heard it, but damn, does it get you thinking that we might be living at a time where we're one major incident away from going back to the Stone Ages, or maybe, you know, not coming out on top at all and having another species be the dominant species on this planet. You know, and then the whole world's going to change. But then there's always going to be remnants of us at the peak of our civilization. You know, 8 billion folks suddenly just reduced to nothing, or reduced to, you know, little pockets of people here and there. But, you know, so post-apocalyptic, it's like we're on a whole new planet. And by the time we do get our numbers back up to where they can start to research what happened, by then we would just be information inaccessible. Because we don't have any strong stone tellings of the goings on. Enough for it to, like, and then another disaster. I mean, it's just one thing. I mean, you know, could really knock us off kilter. I'm glad we've gotten to the point where we are, to the point of society where we are. We just need to go as far as we can with that. But eventually, you know, there are peoples or groups out there said to have technology to, you know, capture whole stars, you know, and utilize that energy to sustain life for generations, you know, and have that be something that's managed. I mean, interesting. Anyways, so we have freedom fighters going to the Ukraine, which is fantastic, which is needed. But we also need to allow people to go to Yemen, or, you know, go to places where there's whole-scale genocide. And we also need to condemn countries that are still barbaric and allowing these practices to happen. You know, if we're going to police the world, we might as well do it to the, you know, to the way we can. But at the same time, we got to give people freedom. You know, if you don't have freedom, you know, you live in a draconian society. Nobody wants that. So, it's tough. You know, the larger we get, the harder it is to maintain and, you know, have confidence in systems. But eventually those systems will fail. Even our prison systems. Eventually those are going to fail. Bad. And then people that have a harder education, or that were never meant to be free, will suddenly be free, and then that will pose a problem. Because we've allowed the monsters back in society, which is why it gets, you know, the tale of Batman gets darker and darker every time he has to go round up Arkham Asylum's worst of the worst. And it's not a viable jail system. They keep breaking out, so they need to figure out something to do. Anywho, have a great day. Welcome back to David's Life and Observation with your host, David Welch. And, just mull over a few things. We need to be multi-planetary species. We need to give the same energy that we're giving Ukraine to other conflicts that are out there. And then two, you know, we really need to, or three, rather, you know, we really need to work on longer, sustainable things in order to keep us as a species going, even if devastation happens. We need to account for pockets of survivors that have the critical information to move forward as a functioning society and things like that, regardless of, you know, situations. But anyways, I digress. Have a good evening.